I just heard a familiar laugh.
We're getting blinded there.
Welcome this morning. You were able to get up this early in the morning and with the time change. Well, good having you with us this morning. If you fall asleep, we'll understand. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. You know, I've got so much that I want to say this morning and share with you, but I have to be very strict with what I have to say and need to say. So bear with me, if you would. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. I'd like to talk about something that a lot of people don't understand or at times even know about. And I know of many people that even think it's foolish. And they refuse to do it. And that's so sad. So in Romans 4, verse 17, in fact, the whole chapter would be good, but I'm trying to hold back on time. So verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Pray with me if you would. Father, we just thank you for this time, this beautiful morning and day that it is. Lord, I ask that you would just inspire us this morning with your word, that you would declare your truth in our hearts and in our minds. And Father, that we would receive what you're trying to tell us this morning. But Father, I believe that this is your word, your truth, and it will have an effect on all of our lives. And it may be the main thing that we lack in our receiving. So Father, thank you this morning for your word, your truth, and your Holy Spirit that will minister to each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this here is a principle of God. And we need to learn to do the principles of God. It's so important. You know, what Paul's talking and mentioning here in Romans 4:17 is that, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is when, before Abraham had any children. So this is before, and God is speaking this into his life. And his name then is still Abram. But then later, God even changed his name. So in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The important thing in Genesis 17, it does then talk about Abraham being the father of nations, how God called him. But you know that God wanted to get Abram at the time, to start confessing what God has said over him. He wanted Abraham to start saying it all the time. You know, we pass out these little books. And I don't know if any of you have really read this, but I want to tell you, it is so inspiring and truth-given that if we learn to do it, follow it, read it, get it into our spirit, things will change. You see, I believe this is the inspired word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And I believe that God can work through any of us. Is that right? So I believe God inspired Charles Capps here to write this little book to help us to understand more of what God is trying to get across to us. See, this is a principle that God has given. He wants us to speak, proclaim His word for our lives and anything else that needs to be changed. It's important. That's why God told Abraham, He said, you're going to have a child. You're going to be a father of many nations. And He says, you will no longer be called Abram, but you will be called Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. And that's what it means. So every time he heard his name or spoke his name, it was the promise. Here they spoke it, and he had no children yet. And here he is around 100 years old. But what happened? Did it come about? You see, folks, there's a lot of things in our lives that aren't here yet. We've been praying about it. We've been asking about it, searching about it. Or maybe we're sick and we have a disease or we have a real health issue in our life. So what do we do? Most of the time we talk our sickness. And we feel that it's no big deal. It's what I have. And it's like, no, God is saying, what do you want? Do you want to be sick? Do you want this on you? Or would you rather be healed? So why don't we learn to speak what we want rather than what we may have that we don't want? Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's a big deal. And there's people that don't get that concept. And there's others that think it's foolishness. You know, some good friends of mine, people who know the word, one has a heart condition. And his heart goes out of rhythm all the time. And so he has to go to the doctor, and he does it at least once a month, sometimes more. And they put this electric shock to his heart that creates a correct rhythm again. Last time I seen him, he was very gray. Young man, half my age probably. Very gray. You ever see people that are really sick? It's like, man, you got one foot in a grave and the other one's on a banana peeling, you know. And I felt sorry for this guy. But anyway, it didn't look good for him. Wasn't promising. He had been in the hospital, had come out maybe a week. And I'd given him a book prior to this. And I said, here, read this. It might help you. And him being a minister, I thought, you know, I didn't have to go into great detail. Surely he could figure it out. And so I don't know if it was in that meeting or another meeting he brought up. He said, yeah, and them little books that you pass out, because I've given them to a couple different people that asked for them. And he said, you gave me one. And the other guy said, yeah, you gave me one as well. And because the other one was going in for prostate surgery. And so I'm trying to help. You know, the word is like a medicine, right? But you got to take your medicine, or it doesn't work. And the medicine a lot of times doesn't work like that. You don't take an aspirin and bang, your headache is gone. Sometimes you might have to take an extra one or two, and then slowly it leaves. Sometimes that's how God's word works. But both of these guys that should have known better said, man, that's a book of the devil. That's Pentecostal stuff. And he says, that's just not good. We don't do that here, and we don't want any part of it. And so I said, well, what did you do with the book I gave you? He said, well, I threw it away. I threw it in the trash. That wasn't worth reading. I'm like, it's all scripture. And see, that's what we do a lot of times with God's promises, with God's principles, with His Word. He sent His Word to heal us, and we throw it in the trash. Folks, it's sad sometimes what we do because we don't understand. We have believed a lie that we've been taught before. And so when the truth comes, we can't recognize it. Or we don't think that much, oh yeah, okay, that's good, you know, but. And then we continue the way we are. Folks, how is that working for you? You know what I mean? We're praying for healing. We pray for our loved ones for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, for jobs. Well, we got to start confessing the word over them. Because that's what makes it work. It's not your hopes and dreams, but it's your confession, what you believe and what you say. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says that we have the same spirit like Abraham had and Jesus had. It said, you have the same spirit of faith as he had, who wrote in scriptures, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak. Folks, do you talk about what you believe? You can listen to people and the things that they talk about. Oh, I went fishing, man. I caught one that big. It was that big. Huge. But it got away. So we can talk about a lot of things that we enjoy and what we do, but a lot of times you don't hear people talking a lot about God and about His Word and what He's done. Folks, we've got to learn to share the word, preach the word. It's vital. It is. It's absolutely vital. So that was 2 Corinthians 4:13. That was in the Amplified that I read. So the need of spiritual wisdom and understanding is what we all need. Otherwise, we won't receive anything from God. We won't understand even what He's trying to tell us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is why a lot of people reject the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And some Christians, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Folks, I'm trying to give you some spiritual discernment here. Trying to give you some promises. See, God wants us whole. He wants us healed. He wants us blessed. You know, if I have the means to bless someone, I love to do that. I love it. I love to see expressions on people's faces and just thinking, wow. And if they're Christian, they're saying, God, you're so good. You thought of me. You cared about me. And you proved it in my life just now. Folks, I love to give and to share and to help people, to bless them. But you know, there's times that I can't do that. You know, there's people who are maybe going like a child, your child, going and doing the wrong things, not understanding what you're trying to share. They don't want anything at the moment to really do with God. I've had a lot of times my kid, oh, Dad, that's, yeah, you're right, but. And you know, when that happens, I can't bless rebellion. Because all that would do would encourage them. And so I can't do that. That's the same way with God. He can't sometimes bless us because then it would send the wrong message. Well, hey, everything's working out, so it must be right. Proverbs 19 and 3 in the Amplified. Proverbs 19, verse 3. It says, the foolishness of man undermines his way, ruining whatever he undertakes. Then his heart is resentful and rages against the Lord. For being a fool, he blames the Lord instead of himself. See, these are people who get a little bit of truth. God, I go to church now. I'm even giving. Lord, I go to the prayer meetings. See, they're trying to earn from God. And then they expect their, and a lot of them do it because they have alternative motives that they want something. So now we're trying to bribe God. Hey, God, I was good. And I was doing what you said to do. So therefore, you have to bless me and give me that what I want. And see, there's people that do that. And then all of a sudden, it's not working out because God says, I'm not happy with that offering. You're not doing it out of love. Your heart is not for me. It's for selfishness, for your reasons, not for mine. And so God can't bless them. And now they get angry. Well, that didn't work. I'm done with church. I've had enough. Them stupid people going there and they hear, I'm done. God didn't bless me. In fact, that's what one of these guys told me. He says, I don't believe in healing. He said, God doesn't heal. I prayed before and he never healed me. So therefore, they're done. Folks, how about you? You ever get angry at God? I have. There's a lot of people in the world, they're angry at God. They're blaming God for their stupidity. There's a lot of good Christians that keep going to church but say, I really don't believe in that prayer stuff. I pray, doesn't seem to work. So they kind of give up on prayer. Folks, we've got to realize that you can't fool God. We fool ourselves, but you're not going to fool God. So we got to come to him with the right heart. Another one in the Good News translation of Proverbs 19:3. I want to read that to you. It's the same one we just read. It says, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions, and then, of course, blame God. You know, I was praying the other day, and yeah, a couple days ago. And you know, I like to, I like to always give an opportunity for God to speak to me. I read my Bible, I study, there's times that, you know, the word is touching me, so then I take that time to worship God and allow him to touch me. And then I'll just ask, God, is there something that I need to hear from you, something that I need to know? Or Lord, is there just something that you would like to say to me? I'm listening. And I've got my notebook there and my pen. And so this one day he spoke to me, several times. He always does, but this time he spoke to me in a way that I had thought about it before. See, I used to be a farmer, and it kind of like gets in your blood. And so I missed it. I miss it often sometimes, especially when I start to think more about it. And then you watch on YouTube, you know, all this, you know, the new equipment they have and the process of doing it. And it's like, man, if I had a farm back then, I'd be a multimillionaire now because it would have helped me in all the mistakes I was making before because we didn't have that information right at our fingertips. So then I start looking at it and see a lot of times the pressure that I feel at times, and it's not right. So what I'm saying is not the thing to do, okay? But sometimes I feel a lot of pressure. And my getaway is just to go to farming. So I'll watch the farming things and I'll start thinking about them. Once in a while, I'll even kind of get a calculator to it, you know. And I always use it kind of, like I said, as a getaway, to get away from the pressures. Some people go to drugs. Oh, wow. I just go to YouTube. I don't go to drugs. But anyway, as I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you got anything to say? And he said this, double-minded. He didn't say I was. He just said double-minded. Well, I knew exactly what he was saying. Because I had thought about it before, and I thought maybe I shouldn't be thinking about this stuff. But maybe it's okay, just kind of a little getaway. So the Lord convicted my heart, double-minded. And so I had to give it all up. And by his strength and power, I can. So I don't use it as a getaway. I was still hoping that it was just an innocent thing that I could do. And so what I did is I started looking up double-minded. Y'all do that? Do you get in the Word and kind of, okay, Lord, what are you talking about here? And you get into the Scripture. I don't go to anything. I go to the Scripture. I don't go to what I think. I don't go asking a lot of people what they think about it. But I want to get it from God. All right, Lord, what is this really double-mindedness? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. I guess that would be too if you're looking for a getaway. Go to God. And he says, and it will be given to you, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Folks, there's people who are not steady in serving God, in the Word, in searching, in praying, in spending time with the Lord daily. And we're kind of tossed around. We have mixed feelings, mixed desires. But it says that we're tossed with the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The Lord says, if you want to be double-minded and think of other things and try to find other getaways rather than coming to me or going to my word, concentrating on what I say, he said, you're not going to receive anything. Because he says, you're double-minded. You change your mind about things. So the concept of this is, of being double-minded involves having divided loyalty. Are wavering in faith and commitment. It refers to someone who is indecisive, uncertain, or has conflicting desires that pull them in different directions. Folks, that's pretty serious. The enemy uses it against us. And that's what God is facing in us and trying to share with us the problems that it causes. He says, man, I don't want to bless you, but you're so indecisive. You have different desires. They change all the time with the wind. He says, you're not stable. How can I bless you? Can you hear God's heart in this, folks? Don't want to say God is not against us. He loves us and he wants to bless us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. These are the thoughts that God has for us. Isaiah 26:3 in the New Living Testament says this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We mentioned a little bit about our thoughts. You know, it's kind of like, what do we think about? And thoughts, when we're doing that, is really meditation. We really meditate on that. But see, God wants us to meditate on his word. Not this other stuff, this other sometimes junk. It doesn't have to be sinful stuff that we think about. But God says, I need you to concentrate on me. There's too much out there. There's too many things that the devil wants to attack you with. But he says, I want you stable so I can speak to you. He says, because my hopes is to bless you. He says, I want to give you hope again. Folks, there's a lot of people that don't have any hope. It's just like, oh, there's one more day. And they don't think, God can't bless me. Well, I've had this sickness for 40 years. God's never healed me. Well, where's your heart been? Where's your thoughts been? What have you been confessing out of your mouth? So God's not against us. So what is the way of righteousness? Psalms 1 and verse 2 in the Amplified, I'll read that. That's Psalms 1, verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, that is, his precepts and teaching, he habitually meditates day and night. Do we delight in God's word? Does it inspire us? Do we get our hope from that? See, it's his precepts and teaching that we need in our lives and that we need to confess. And we need to really habitually meditate. He says day and night on the word, not just when you're in church, not just when you're having your quiet time with the Lord. Folks, it says here day and night, all the time. I'll be honest with you, the word of God is the only thing that matters. All this other stuff doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't bring life. If it doesn't bring life, what good is it? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, and this is in the Amplified again, All Scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and it's profitable for instructions, even for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration of obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will. Wow, that's a good one. Living in conformity with God's will. That is both publicly and privately. Having honorably or behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. I like John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. And he says, the flesh profits nothing. He says, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. It's not just talk, folks. The Word of God is not just something you read and feel good about. It's life. And if you understand it, it's the Spirit ministering that knowledge to you, to give you life. All this other stuff may sound good, but does it give you life? I like where 2 Corinthians 1:9 talks about God delivering us. It says, yes, that's 2 Corinthians 1:9. It says, yes, we have the sentence of death in our lives. Some of us with diseases and sickness and different things like cancer or whatever. For the most part, it can be a sentence of death. Some get healed. And we live with that. We're going to a funeral down in Traverse City when we leave here. John Yoder was raised really mostly as a Mennonite. His parents were Mennonite. Then they got saved and started going then to church. And I don't know how old John was. I'm thinking maybe late 40s, early 50s. Married, children. Hard worker, good man. We were good friends. I did his dad's funeral. He heard that he had cancer a month and a half ago and died 3 or 4 days ago. He didn't know, but he had this death sentence on him. They had the death sentence over ourselves that we should not trust. Now listen to this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Folks, our hope is not in who we are, what we do, what our doctors say, how well we take care of ourselves, how well we exercise. It all helps, but it's not going to keep you alive if you get some sort of disease or something. It's all good, and we need to do it. Psalms 107, verse 20, it says, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God sent his word. What did Jesus do when he came? And he healed all of them that came to him. So we need to learn to proclaim the things as though they are. Mark 11:22 through 24, Jesus answered and said to them, he says, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this cancer, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Folks, we've got to learn that our words are powerful, especially when we use the words of God. We're meditating on his word. We're getting the promises in our heart. That's why in this book it says sometimes you got to read and confess these words. Do this like three times a day. So it's so important. We've got to get it into our lives, into our heart. Man, God said it. It's real. He doesn't lie. Doesn't exaggerate. He speaks the truth. And we need to get that truth in our lives, in our heart. So that when we talk the word of God. Not that I got to run to my Bible and try to find that verse. Sometimes I do. But I want to get it in my spirit, that where it's memorized. It may not be word for word, but it'll be what it says, what it means. You know, I had a problem with my leg. My wife has a problem with hers now. She sits too long. The muscle wants to do something, I guess. And so, you know, she limps until it limbers up. That's the way I was. And every once in a while, I can feel it. But see, I've learned to speak the word over it. I said, you line up with the word of God. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Therefore, you are healed. I rebuke the tendonitis or whatever it might want to be there, the pain that's there. Father, thank you for your healing. You sent your word and you healed me. I don't walk around, man, my leg is so hurt. I don't know if I'm going to live, you know? Nonsense. What's the word say? That's what the body says. You want to confess what the body says, or would you rather confess what the word of God says? Your choice. You get hope from the word of God and answers. But when you listen to the body with its feelings and the lies that it's learned, and it talks to you and tells you how bad it is, you need to take it to task. You shut up, body. You're healed. Pain, you go away. In Jesus' name. A lot of people that don't understand this may say, man, that's foolishness. Call it what you want, but my leg is healed. I don't deny if I get something. Yeah, it's trying to attach itself, but I'm not keeping it. God did not design it and send it to me. All good things come from above. Doesn't say that some bad things come from above. Do you all see how serious God is with his word and how serious we ought to be with it? That's why we gave out these books. He even explains a lot of this in here for us that anybody could understand. Man, I've gone through and highlighted things and other scriptures that I need to confess in my life. This is important to me. I can carry it with me. Gives me direction. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all getting anything out of this? In conclusion, on Romans 4:17. It emphasizes the power of God to fulfill his promises and create life from nothing, as exemplified by Abraham's faith. Through various examples, we see that faith in God's ability to act in our lives can lead to miraculous outcomes, transformations, and hope. Father, thank you for your word. God, I ask that our hearts were so open, our minds could just understand what you were trying to tell us and how you want to bless us. Now, Father, I ask that you would just give us the ability now, Lord, to do your word, to confess your word, to meditate on it day and night, that we can be in a position, Lord, that you can indeed bless us, and not only us, Lord, that we can bless others. As we lay hands on the sick and they recover, as we cast out demons, Father, that we touch the hopeless and give them hope. So, Lord, work through us. Make your word real in us and work through us to touch the people that you send us to. Thank you, Father, for your power. And may we always walk in your power by your word. Teach us, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Work it through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now this is why I like to confess the word over us. Folks, it works. Let it take root. And let me say it right now. I want to confess this word. In fact, this is the word that God told Aaron and his sons, confess this over my people every day. It's found in Numbers 6:22 through 27. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. Lord, we receive it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.